All right, John.
Yep, I'm ready.
You're on.
Okay.
All right, talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. Tell us the name of your show first.
Okay. All right, thanks for having us on again. This is John with National Liberty Alliance, and our website is nationallibertyalliance.org. And what we're doing, we were on last week talking quite a bit about it, but what we're doing ultimately is creating common law grand juries across the nation by creating administrations that the people in each county would run and make sure that the people that come into the system understand the common law so that the people can finally get justice in the courts today. Obviously, there's a major problem in the courts. I've been involved in the courts for about 5 years now, and the corruption is the greatest in the courts than I've seen anywhere. There appears to be no justice. And everything is all about money, and of course, since we discovered that, and we found a U.S. Supreme Court ruling called United States versus Williams, and when we read that, we realized that we had had something here, and that the people can take control of their country by taking control of their courts. How do you want to run this? I'm open for questions, or we can get into the details of how things work.
Now, you said that you've been involved in the court system.
Right.
Now, when you say that the courts are kind of corrupt, when you say that, is it the lawyers, the judges, or is it that people are doing favors for one another?
Right. Well, it's pretty much that. It's the good old boys club type thing, of course. The Bar Association teaches that statutes that control the behavior of people are law. That's to begin with. The whole system is really a big money-making machine. I mean, anybody that goes to traffic court sees that. It's just about, just filling that cash register up. They're not concerned with anything else. Everyone's guilty. You rarely get out of that. You go into the court system and you're guilty. And even the criminal courts pretty much run the same way. Of course, if you play ball and you hire a lawyer and you can make some deals and you could get off a little bit easy, but generally speaking, you're going to pay one way or the other. I never thought it would be this way. Our first time going into the courts was we found the corruption in the committeeman process, which covered both the Republican and the Democratic parties, that they were being controlled from the top down. And so we discovered that the committeemen are supposed to be elected individuals, and they have a facade set up to make people think they're elected, but they are not. If you read through the law very carefully, they're appointed by a select group of people on top. And once they come in, all these people that join the committeeman process, which is set up there to choose the people that we would like to have run for office, we find out that orders come down from the top, people are selected, and the whole thing is corrupt. So we took the Republican and the Democratic parties to court, and we sued them. We didn't know too much about what we were doing. We were kind of learning how to get through the process. That was our first case, and we did do two lawsuits on them one year after another because they violated the elections in both cases. But anyway, in that process, we discovered how corrupt the courts were. And they would cleanse the files, remove things from the files, send things from the files back, anything they could to prevent a win in the court. Even though we went in demanding trial by jury, they ignored that, and judges made decisions and did whatever they pleased. But anyway, that didn't prevent us from continuing to sue, and we took these things eventually up to the New York State Supreme Court Appellate Division. And we found that they were as corrupt up there as anyone else. Again, they didn't even pay attention to what we were saying. They asked us questions that were so off the wall, it was obvious that they never read our paperwork, and they thought it was a party dispute when, in fact, we were taking them into the courts because of corruption. But in any event, through that process, we found the common law. We started studying the common law. We got better with procedures and processes. And then we started to go to court for numerous things, people having all kinds of problems, and we've had many, many dozens or scores of court cases that we've written and worked with people across the nation, and mostly in New York State, though. And we've been in the town courts, the city courts, the village courts. We've been down in New York City courts. We've been in the Supreme Courts. We've also been in a federal court. And again, it's the same thing. Everywhere we went, we found the same thing. They would try to silence us because, first of all, we're not lawyers and we're not paying a lawyer to go through this process. Again, it's a club up there. And even when you try to assist people where the Constitution is clear, the law is clear, the federal United States District Court, United States Supreme Court decisions is clear, that you can represent another individual and you do not have to be a bar lawyer. As a matter of fact, when the Constitution was written and came into effect in 1789, they taught, in the Constitution it said you had the right to counsel. I believe that's the Fifth Amendment. But you had the right to counsel. Back in 1789, there were no bar lawyers. The bar lawyers didn't appear in America until the early 1900s is when they first incorporated. I'm not sure whether it was Philadelphia or New York, but well, probably New York, though. And they incorporated, and it was a club of about 100 lawyers at that time. And that has spread to the entire nation over a short period of time to the point that they've monopolized the courtrooms. And all judges and all lawyers are bar taught, and the bar is teaching lies. They're teaching the people that the common law has been abrogated. And if the common law has been abrogated, then the Constitution of the United States for the United States and the Bill of Rights has been abrogated. And that is exactly what has happened. Now, they are afraid to tell the people that, but they do indeed act in the courts in such a fashion as if they are abrogated because they do not adhere to your unalienable rights. And it takes a lot of strategy and chess playing to get a case that you can win. And again, you know, winning is really being thrown out of the courts because that's about the only win we can get, especially if it's what they call a criminal case against you. Then we countersue and go through a process of moving the jurisdiction back into the common law and take it up through the federal courts. And at that point, they usually fold if we have a good case and we played a good chess game, where the judge realizes that his skin is on the line and that he then makes a deal in the back room with the other lawyers and they throw the case out. We get thrown out of court. And even though we're suing at the same time, we're kind of good with getting thrown out of the court. That's sufficient enough. But that's not the way justice is supposed to be. It's a waste of the American people's money. Obviously, there is no justice. And there are a lot of people in prison that don't belong there. Now, Judge Bork, who was up for the United States Supreme Court some time ago, I think it was Reagan that chose him. I don't remember particularly who it was that called him up for that. Of course, he never made it into the Supreme Court as a United States Supreme Court justice. He was said to be one of the greatest legal minds of our time. And one of the statements he had made was that 80% of the people that are in prison are there only because they opened their mouth, which meant that they took a plea. When you go into a court system, especially under a criminal situation, and they want to charge you on some kind of crime, the first thing they do is they bring you up for what's called an arraignment. And what most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time or better, they do not get a grand jury to do an indictment. And the Fifth Amendment says that no person shall be held to answer for a crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of the grand jury. So without the grand jury's indictment, they have no authority to charge you with a crime. And most crimes, the grand jury will not indict because they're not crimes. They're statutes which control the behavior of people. So once the person makes a plea of guilty or not guilty, they go into what's called a nisi prius court. And nisi prius means unless first, which means unless you deny or reject first, you accept. So the moment you make a plea, you've accepted the process and you're now caught into the legal process, and now that judge can do with you as he pleases. Now, bear in mind, just think about this, and, I don't know if we've lost our minds, but maybe we have.
No, you haven't lost your mind.
How is it that we go into a courtroom and we pay a political creature that is a servant of ours in order to judge us? I mean, what are we, crazy that we do that? I mean, no, we the people judge we the people. That's the purpose of the 12-man jury, and that's the purpose of the 25-man grand jury. You have to have majority of the people of the grand jury to agree to send you into court to begin with, and then you have to have 100% of the jury to agree that you're guilty. None of that ever happens. They've bypassed that entire system. Everybody is guilty. Rarely does anyone get off being not guilty. So this is what we're up against. And look at America is under siege. They have taken our entire government and has turned it upside down. Now, there's nothing wrong with our government. There's nothing wrong with the court system structure, the procedures, the processes, the Constitution, and all of the things that the Constitution has legally created through legislature. All of that is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the people who are in power that are making a lot of money or being bribed or threatened or whatever in order to keep this process the way it is. And so, you know, we have a major problem in America, and the only way this is going to be solved is if the people step up and do something. So let me take the opportunity to note that our website is nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you go out there, read the front page, and you'll know exactly who we are and where we're coming from. You watch, there's two videos up there. The first video is a 40-minute video which explains exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. The second video is a paper that we filed in every federal court in America, which was the paper we filed was called a quo warranto. And a quo warranto is a paper filed by the king. It's the last resource of the king. It's like you obey the law or the heads come off. And so we, the people across America, we have united the entire nation. We have a presence. National Liberty Alliance has developed a presence of people in every single state across America.
Wow.
We have reconstituted the common law grand jury by vote of the people in every single county in America. And we are now organized. We have state coordinators. We have county organizers. We have national and district coordinators. And we are now filing papers in the federal court. Each state has been united themselves under what's called the United Florida Common Law Grand Jury, or the United California Common Law Grand Jury, or New York or New Jersey Common Law Grand Jury. Each state has united themselves in such a fashion, bringing together all of the counties. And we have an address in each state where we receive our mail, and we all have our seals, for each state has its own seal. And then we, the people, in every single state came together and brought together what's called the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is operates out of New York State right here. And collectively, the 50 states plus the union of all have been filing papers in the federal courts, filing it with every single judge in America, federal judge in America. And we filed it, well, we served it on every judge in America, and we filed it with every federal court in America. We also filed it with the United States Supreme Court and all nine justices out there in Washington, D.C. So those guys, they got 51 copies of the same quo warranto as all of the other judges have. But now they know that we're not just a few people here in New York or just some crazy group. No, we are the people across America. We are growing in leaps and bounds. It's beginning to landslide for us. NLA has got name recognition, and people, a lot of large liberty groups are discovering us and coming on board. And so the people are piling in, and it's time for the people to step up and do what they have to do, and that is to take back America from these criminals that have robbed us of our liberty.
Could you do me a favor? Could you give me the phone number and all the stuff again, you know, like how to get in touch with y'all, you know, because people listening, you know,
right.
Last week they wanted to find how to get in touch. And can people actually join, you know, the movement that you're doing now?
Well, absolutely. What they need to do is go out to nationallibertyalliance.org. Let me repeat that, nationallibertyalliance.org. Now, again, the front page, you know, just absorb the front page and the videos on the front page, and that's where you'll get to decide by looking at that whether you would like to join us or not. And anybody who realizes the problems in America will usually joins us. But anyway, on the top left side of our website, you'll see a tab right up above the blue bar. It says Weekly Call. And if you click on that Weekly Call page, You'll get a phone number and an access code to join us on a conference call that we have every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that conference call is broadcast live stream over Shake and Wake Radio. And we have the radio set up there on our website, so when you come in on a Monday night, we're streamed right into the web page. So if you don't want to call and you just want to listen, you can come into the page and listen. We have a chat room there too. But if you do come in, on a call, usually we spend the first half hour to an hour. First off, the first 5 minutes, we always lift up the Lord. And then we spend the first half hour to an hour giving briefing people on where we're at, what we're doing, and what's coming down the pike, what papers we have filed, what papers we're planning to file. We might read a paper if we're planning to file it once it's ready to be filed. And then the next 2 hours after that is open forum where people can ask any question, make any comment, and we respond to things as best we can. And we also have, by the way, a Bible study every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now we're studying the book of Revelation. And you can join us by going out to the same page and with the same phone number and the same access code at 7 p.m. and you'll come right in onto the conference call. Or that also is broadcast live over Shake and Wake Radio, which you'll hear on that webpage live stream when we start our studies. So, the purpose of our site, National Liberty Alliance, is actually a facilitator. We are not a group per se. We're not a top-down group. We don't tell people what to do, but we teach people what they need to do, and either they do it or they don't. So we're a facilitator. We have an education system set up. We have a civics course. It's a free civics course. You can click on right on the blue bar. You'll see civics course. You click that. You join the course and you take it. It's quite a long course, and we teach in that course American history, the real American history. We teach the Constitution. We teach common law. We teach trial by jury by Lysander Spooner, which is an essay, quite a long essay, but it gives us the history of the grand jury and the jury process. And we have numerous other things. We also teach people. We have a lot of documentaries in that course, which is in video or audio, and then people are asked questions after each segment in order to move forward to the next section. But in any event,
how big of an area do you cover? I mean, is it just New York State or what?
Oh no, we're worldwide. We're on the internet, so obviously that kind of puts us into a worldwide situation.
Right.
But basically, we are absolutely national. We have people from every single state of the union, every single meeting. We usually get about 300 to 400 people on the call on a Monday. And then we have a lot of people who listen and download the podcast. And so you can go to the same Monday page and download the last. You can download all of our meetings that we've had. We are nationwide, and we do have people listening in from other countries. We've had 6 countries already asking to join, to become part of what we're doing, to do what we're doing in their country. We've had England called, or people from Australia, New Zealand. We even had one of the countries of Africa called, and they want to get in, and they want to turn their country into common law. So this has become a worldwide movement. But, of course, most of the people are here in the United States. Now, we have not had the funds to facilitate those people yet, but hopefully as we grow and we get more donations, then we'll be able to facilitate the other nations. We do ask everyone that comes in and joins us to consider a $5 a month donation, or more if you can, of course, to just keep us going. And if we had all our members commit to that $5, we definitely could open up all of the different countries that want to join with us, and we would create.
What if somebody want to donate more, John?
Of course.
If they really believe in what you're doing, and they think that they want to join you and they want to help the movement, what can they do?
If they go up to the donate on the top right side, you'll see donate now. And if you click on that tab, you'll go in there. There's various ways to do it. We're set up with PayPal. People can use a credit card or pay by PayPal. or there's an address in there that they can send a check. They can do a one-time donation on credit card, or they can do a monthly of $5, $10, $20, or however they want to do it. Of course, we appreciate anything anyone can give us. We're completely, as long as the people support us, we'll keep going. If we can't pay the bills, then obviously we can't keep going. But things are always tight, but we do manage to pay the bills, and we do manage to keep going. And hopefully people will donate more.
But how do you, like you say, you have a call, you have different people call in, you have a conference call on a,
mm-hmm.
How do you do that? I mean, people call one number and then everybody talks together?
Right.
The
Yeah.
audience how to do it.
Yeah, there is a conference call program. There's quite a few of them out there. The best that we found is absolutely free, and it's really amazing because we could really take quite a few people into our chat room. We know we can get 1,000 people, and I spoke with the techs, and they said that they really don't know how many. They confirm it at 1,000. They said you might be able to get 1,200, 1,500. We really don't know.
What's that
But
number?
anyway, the phone number? Well, the phone number to get into our call on the weekly calls. Let me click on the button, and because I'm not too sure exactly myself, I just click a button. It's already in the program. But let me put that off. Okay, the Monday call. Yeah, the Monday call-in number, which is the same for the Saturday call-in number, is 605-562-3140. And the access code to once you get in, they'll ask you for your access code, and it's 385-698. Now, again, you'll see this information on this Monday call page. Now, how this is set up is, we have a console. There are usually about four people running the program in on the console. Three people. Running the program. So we'll be three consoles in there, open up each one on our own computers, and then we come in on the phone as the administrators of the call. And there are three people that have control of all of the buttons and mechanisms in there.
What's your
but people
position?
come in. Excuse
No,
me?
I'm sorry, I need to break up to you. What is your
Yeah, that's
position
okay.
on this? What is your role?
Yeah, well, I'm one of the founders, and I'm one of the main speakers
Oh,
for
okay.
National Liberty Alliance.
People need to know that, that you're one of the main speakers, so they'll
Yeah.
put a little more value into what you're saying.
Appreciate that. But anyway, once they get in, we take them in. We usually do some, well, and sometimes we'll do roll calls, and we'll ask the people their name and the state. But as they come to the mic, we always ask their name and their state. And then we register their number in the system. So whenever they come back in, we can always see their name and what state they're from. And then we have in the system is set up a queue for a Q&A session. And once we go into Q&A, people hit star one and they'll get into the queue. And then we take people one at a time asking questions. We also have a lecture control there if we just want to do a lecture where we can mute everyone and then unmute anybody at will. Or we can mute everyone, and if it's not too big a meeting, sometimes we'll have 50, 60 people, and we'll just mute everyone, and they can unmute themselves by hitting star six and remute themselves by hitting star six. And so we can have at-will conversation. And quite often, believe it or not, it does work out rather well, but sometimes it gets too noisy and then we have to just mute everyone. But the Q&A session is what we normally run under. So it's a really nice system. It's called Free Conference Calling HD, and it works very well. And if anybody wants that, matter of fact, we have a link to that on our right side of our site. You can click on free high definition voice conferencing. And you can click on that and join up and get your own conference console and set up, and it's free of charge. So it's a very good service. We were paying, goodness, thousands of dollars for a service like this, and we just couldn't afford it anymore. But when we then we found this, and we kicked ourselves for paying all that money. So.
It seems like you enjoy what you're doing. I mean, how do you feel yourself? I'm asking you, John. How do you feel knowing that you're trying to help somebody and let people know about how the court system works? I mean, give
Right.
me your feeling.
Well, you know, I've been a Bible teacher for well over 20 years, and somehow the Lord led me here. And when we were working through the committeeman and going into the courts and studying the law, the real law, that is, we found out that the word justice is synonymous with virtue, and virtue comes from Christ himself. So, you know, you go to the Bible to get virtue. And so I realized that justice, being synonymous with virtue, was something that I should be involved with. And as I got deeper and deeper into the law, it led me back to where I had been anyways, at the Bible. Because being under common law means we're under natural law, and natural law brings us back under the Word of God. And so therefore, we teach people we need to be governed not by men, but by God, and we're governed by God if we adhere to principles. And the three principles that we require anyone who becomes an administrator or as a sitting jurist, they must take a vow to God to adhere to the three principles. And those three principles is a sense of honor, sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. So if we consider every problem before us as jurists, whether we're making honorable decisions, whether we're making a just decision, and have we considered mercy in the whole, you know, scheme of things. And if we do that, then I think we've accomplished the goal of making a good decision and could go to sleep at night. Now, each jurist and each administrator is taught to recognize if someone breaks that vow, that we let them know that they've broken that vow. You're not acting honorable, or you're not considering mercy, or whatever it is that we see in the individual. They need to repent and turn back to the system, to the way we set it up, or the others can disbar them, send them out, and then, you know, get someone else into the system. Now, these administrative systems are paid positions, by the way. They're full-time jobs. Once we get into the courts, we'll be set up with the controller to get a budget. We'll have access. We'll have a room or area in the courthouse where we'll have an office for the administrators and rooms to meeting for the juries, and so on. So we'll be looking for four positions in every county across America. And you don't have to live in the county that you're working in, you know, because it's a job, and you just have to do your job well and obey that which you took, the vow you took before God. Now, we also teach everyone that there are two major maxims. Now, there's lots of maxims. A maxim is a truth that cannot be denied. For instance, water cannot run uphill. That's a maxim. It's an absolute truth. Nobody could argue that. Another maxim is all men are created equal. It's an absolute truth. Nobody can argue that. All rights come from God. We have unalienable rights. I didn't receive my right from government or any other man. They don't have the authority to give me a right or privilege. It comes only from the Creator. And when He created me, He gave me those unalienable rights. Now, He may not have blessed me with liberty. He has blessed America with liberty. But now I believe He's cursed America because we've lost our way. But if we, the people, step up and do the right thing and bring justice back into our courts, we will return justice back to America. And then, you know, by God's mercy, we'll be blessed again, and liberty will prevail, and the light of truth will go forward again.
Now,
out of America.
I'm sorry. If somebody's a member of your organization, right, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden they go out and they get a ticket or something,
mm-hmm.
can they call you, or can they? What do they do? How do you get
involved?
Yeah,
well,
then?
We did is we set up a program called Courtroom Observers, and it's a new program. We just put this together because we have been assisting people, and members have been assisting members, and so we organized something, and we have an individual who developed an organization that was called Courtroom Observers Network. And so he melded in with us, and we're just setting up a page now. We hope to have it done before the weekend is out. But where you'll be able to go in if someone, well, first of all, it becomes a group where people can communicate and talk. You know, you come into that particular group. We've got lots of groups. We have a group for each state. We have a media campaign group, and we have a courtroom observers group. So you would join that group. And you'd get onto the list, and we would support each other. So if I had to go to court for something here in Dutchess County, the call would go out to the people of New York, and maybe people in Orange County might come over and help, and people in Dutchess. So we'll have people to come in with us. And what we'll do is we'll try to intimidate the judge to do the right thing, to do the just thing. And we do that by Making sure that the people that come into the court to work and help you is to come in with the right kind of a dress, looking nice, clean, and neat and crisp. We suggest a suit jacket.
I like that.
But you don't need a tie, but a dress shirt, you know, nice pants and shoes, you know, come in nice and neat, look professional. And also we'll be developing sophisticated ID cards, which would be about the size of a driver's license, and that would hang off of your neck, and it would be on the top, it would be a courtroom observer. We would also make the phone calls we're going to teach people this, what they need to do as we go through the process. But, you know, we've got to make the phone call, let them know we're bringing cameras into the court, let them show them the law, why they can't refuse us, and we bring cameras into the court. We're going to bring recording devices. And we'll have, you know, 2, 3, 4, hopefully more observers will come in there, make sure we sit at the front row, make sure we set up at least one camera, and make sure we all have our IDs on us, and make sure we all have pen and paper, and every time that judge opens his mouth, we start writing. Even if we're drawing pictures, we don't care, just write. Intimidate this guy to let him know we are watching, we're sick and tired of this garbage, and we're going to do what we have to do and report you to whoever and however we got to do it. We'll be witnesses. We'll do affidavits. Look, that's an intimidation to make him do the right thing.
So I would keep him on his toes, huh?
That's right. And once we get common law in the courts, we won't need to do it so much, but we'll still have the courtroom observers working, and they'll be able to help people, assist people in writing papers and, you know, really not so much writing papers for them, but teaching them how to write papers, leading them, because we have everything on the website. We have a course, we wrote a book on court access, and it lays out the process of law, the procedure, what papers are required, what forms are required in order to open a case, and how to write a paper. And, of course, we have, we teach, of course, common law. We have lectures and teach American history. We have lectures. Thomas Woods, probably one of the greatest professors of history in America, he does the lectures. They're video lectures. They're very well done. And that's all part of our regular free course that anyone can take. Now, when you come into the free course to sign up, you're given two options. You can sign up as just a member wanting to take the course, and that's fine. Anyone can do that. Or you can sign up as a potential administrator, and then you'd be put on a special list where you'll be monitored. Your progress will be monitored because the first 4 people to complete the course within a county has access to the job, first dibs on the job, so to speak, as an administrator. And the administrator starts off salary at $45,000, and that's on-the-job training. And then, of course, as time goes on, it's a matter of experience and time in and so on. And it's a sophisticated way to adjust the salary after that. But in any event, it could pay as high as $150,000. But generally, anywhere from 45 to that amount. But of course, anybody getting paid that kind of money, they really need to be able to be astute in law and many things. But anyone can achieve this because we will teach everyone anything they need to know. As far as you want to go, we're going to take you through college, so to speak, if that's what you're interested in.
I like that. I like that.
Free, no charge. $5 a month if you can afford it, you know? But if you can't, we'll teach you anyway.
That's pretty cheap, you know, five bucks a month.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great thing you're doing. You actually go to the courts and you sit there and you keep tabs on the judge and the lawyers and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. Or
absolutely.
Not, you let them know later on that you don't believe what they did was right.
Right, exactly. Look, we'll sue them. We'll help the people to sue them. Look, once they violate your unalienable rights and they don't pay attention and do the right thing in the courtroom, then they violated that individual's right of due process, Fifth Amendment, and that gets you into the federal court. And you can sue the judge and every officer in that courtroom, not only civilly but criminally. You know, common law takes both sides of the coin. It's the same court case. You deal with criminal and civil at the same time. They separate the courts, which is not the way our court system is supposed to be. But for instance, we went to a town court recently right here in Hyde Park, and I went to court with a guy. I helped him write a paper, and I was there in the front row, and The judge looked down at the paper. He kept looking at me from time to time. He didn't know who I was, so that's good. And I wanted to intimidate him. And he did the right thing. You know, he turned around and says, well, look, I can't talk about any of this stuff. I have to read this paper, and I'm going to put this off for 30 days. And that's exactly what we're looking for him to do, and to go home and read the papers. And he told the counsel on the other side, you're going to have to answer this. So you don't get that in court normally. Believe me, you, when you go into these town courts, they usually find you guilty real quick and get it over with. Or they'll set a trial, then they'll find you guilty next month instead of this month. That's all. But in any event, you're going to be found guilty, you know, because we all know that. Go in court and sit down and see what goes on. It's a money-making machine, and everyone's guilty.
So the way, that's the reason why the judge says let your lawyer do the talking. So that means you have to have a lawyer.
Well, they want that, but not when we make the argument. We get into federal court, we can win the argument there because they know the United States Supreme Court has many times said that you know, people can represent other people, or a group can come together to represent the group or one person. It's called the next friend. That's what they referred it to, and to practice law is not something that could be licensed. It's an unalienable right. You have a right to be able to go into your court and demand your rights and make sure that truth and justice and the law is applied. That's your right, and no one can take that from you. And the Supreme Court has ruled that. One of the things, you see, they do is every court system in America is being operated under chancery courts. Now, chancery courts is something that developed in England maybe around 1100 A.D. or so, roughly, you know, early on. And it developed, and what it was is that the king was in charge of the court, and the king would make the ruling. The king could make the law right there on the bench. Now, he because the king couldn't be everywhere, he appointed chancellors. And the chancellors would represent the king. And they would represent the will of the king. So in every case, whatever the king's will was, they would execute. But if they had a case where the king didn't make a decision on yet, then they had the ability, the freedom to create the law right there on the bench, right at that moment. And this, of course, is a very unjust system. And they'll always find you guilty. And we're set up with a chancery system. You're up there before a king, a guy who can make the rules right up on the bench. Now, the American people don't know this. The American people think that they're going to get justice in a courtroom until they get in there and find out how it really works. The American people think that the Constitution is in effect in a courtroom. You see, when we go into the courtroom, we expose all that. We challenge the judge. We deny jurisdiction. We lay out the law. We read right out of the Constitution, tell him he doesn't have the authority to do what he's doing. And we tell him he must dismiss the case. And the first order of business, if they don't dismiss the case, we don't come back a second time. Once they don't dismiss the case, then what they have done is hijacked this into what's called a nisi prius court. It's a court. It's called a court not of record. A court of record is common law, but it's court not of record. Now, once they deny us our right to a court of record by bringing us back into that foreign court, then what they have actually done is hijacked us into a foreign court, and therefore they violated our Fifth Amendment right of due process in common law, and then we sue them in federal court. And that's the threat before the bench every time we go into court. Either dismiss the case, discharge it, or we're going to file charges against you, and this court is going to be susceptible to collateral damages from our court, which is a higher court than that court, because we the people are the owners of the court. After all, think about it. You know, the Constitution, the preamble to the Constitution says, we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So who's the boss? We the people. We wrote this. This is our law, and they need to obey it. And obviously, you know, the clay cannot say to the potter, you know, how they're going to be created. You know, it's the potter that has the control. We are the potter. They are the clay. They're to be obedient to the people. And when they break our rules and our laws, then we have to bring the hammer down on them. And that's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. We're teaching the people across America how to stand up and bring the hammer down on them. And we're doing it collectively, all at one time, in one accord, at the same time, and that's power, and that's authority, and that's pressure. These judges today, as of the past few weeks particularly, they're not sleeping very well, and they're dead silent, and silence is good, because they don't know what to do, and they need to understand they better do the right thing and allow the people into their courts and get back to common law. But only the people can do this as a whole. You know, a couple of people can't do this. This can't be done by one or two or ten or a dozen or 5 dozen people. No, this has got to be thousands of people. And we are thousands strong. You know, we have tens of thousands of people, just following us. So we have lots of people across America, and we're about ready to landslide. And once that landslide is coming, as we're pressing into the courts, that pressure is going to be so great, we will get our country back. But only people can do it. Any other questions?
I just think that whatever you're doing is just great, you know. But I don't understand, you know, do you let the judge know that you're there? I mean, you know, that you...
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, well, that's why we just created the courtroom observers. But, yeah, look at... certain judges, certain courts, certain places, they know who I am. And usually they kind of, you know, do the right thing. Not necessarily all the time, though, you know. But it depends on the case and what's going on. But generally speaking, yeah, the way you write your papers is the key to how that court's going to go and how you're demanding that court's going to go. And if the judge doesn't read the paper, then eventually he'll read it and he'll realize he should be doing something different than what he's doing. But if they read the papers, they're put on notice at that point, because we write into the papers, that about jurisdiction and that they don't have any. You see, first of all, none of the town courts, the village courts, or the city courts, with the exception of New York City, none of those courts have any authority over anyone. They are all nisi prius courts. They do not go forward according to the Constitution, and therefore they have no power or authority to make a decision over your life. Now, of course, if you plead, you just gave them authority, so you never should plead. And it's a fight. It's an uphill battle. Don't get me wrong. It is an uphill battle.
John, sometimes, you know, people get afraid, you know, when they say,
yes,
when they're saying they're going to be guilty, found guilty and going away for 50 years or whatever, and they, somebody say, well, if you want to plead, you will plead for 4 years. And then they started figuring 4, 20, 30, you know, 4 years is less than what they're going to really give
right,
them.
Right, that's their game. Look, first of all, in common law, this is why we have to take our courts back. This whole thing is corrupt. And look, most people that maybe a person that is guilty of something, that doesn't mean they necessarily need to go to jail. Look, the thing is one of the two major maxims, which I didn't get to, is for every injury, there must be a remedy, okay? If you injure somebody, you got to fix that person, okay? You can't get away without paying restitution to an individual you injured. You did a wrongdoing. And the other one is if there is no injured party, there is no crime. So, you know, driving without a license is not a crime. It can't be a crime because there's no injured party. The state cannot be that injured party. So you know, when you go to court, and the way it should be is a judge shouldn't be able to make any decisions over you, number one. And the prosecutor has absolutely no authority or ability to make a plea or argument with you and say, well, look, we'll give you 4 years instead of doing 20. They don't have that authority whatsoever. Now, in the courts they're controlling, of course they do, but we're going to take that back. This belongs to the people. And we're going to train the grand jurist. You know, we don't have to go to court with everyone. When you discover and think that someone is guilty of something, you're going to send them into the courtroom. Well, go try to work a deal out first. Talk to the injured party. See what it takes to restore that individual. What do you think? If you can work out an arrangement between the injured party and the person who violated that person, and then you can get that into contract, with a very heavy contract, there'd be strong repercussions if they don't fulfill that contract. In other words, they'd be arrested immediately and dealt with. So as long as you can get a contract between those two parties and there's an agreement, you don't have to send them into court. Make the contract, file it with the papers, make sure everybody understands, and we'll set up a system to monitor that. And we could save people lots of money. We could save tax money that we don't have to have all these court cases necessarily. We can save, of course, time for lots of people and grief. And look at, and if they do, if they don't, if the person is claiming, no, I don't want to do that, or they claim that they're innocent, but the grand jury thinks they're guilty, well, then they pass it on to the court, and then you have 12 people who hear everything and then try to make a good decision. But remember, in order to get a guilty conclusion in any true court of common law, you have to get all 12 jurors to agree. If the jury gets to the point where they just can't agree, and it could be one person holding them up, if they just can't agree, that's it. It's a not guilty decision, and that guy goes. That's it. End of subject. And he can never be tried again. There's no, you know, you can't be tried for the same crime twice. And that's the way the system is. It's a great system. Yes, yeah, sometimes people can get off from doing a crime and getting away with it. It's true. But it's better that occasionally a person who is not guilty, I mean a person who is guilty, get away with it than to send innocent people into jail. Because I think it's better off to make the error that way from time to time. Now, you do have an injured party, and you do try to do the best you can. And again, everyone has to consider all this. But again, even the jury, unless it's a violent crime, I mean, why do we have to put people in jail? If we're afraid someone's going to run, well, put a ring on them and monitor them. I mean, we got the technology for that. Keep them at home and let them go to work during the day. Or if it's necessary, even a violent individual, not necessarily a violent person, but someone who committed a crime that's on the violent end and they may not be a big risk, you know, you can let them out during the day to go do a real job and come back into the prison at night and on the weekends. And this way, the money that individual is earning would go towards paying some restitution towards the injured party. Well, look, this is what common law is all about.
Would you be afraid that person, if somebody went out and killed somebody and they gave him 20 years or whatever, you think that they should let him out and go to work? I mean,
not that kind of a crime. No.
But
no,
that's
no.
Kind of bad because they take off and go to Egypt somewhere.
Go to
Alabama
no,
or Georgia or.
Right. Look at
somewhere.
The people got to think about this, and it's logical. Obviously, someone that is a violent individual, you can't let them out, and you have to keep them in jail. But look at, we really have to restore the people. If they're not going to be given life sentences, maybe they did a violent crime and no one died, but maybe they get 5 years or 10 years, I don't know. But we do have to restore these people. You know, look at, they call it correctional facilities, and that's a lie from hell. We all know that. There's no correction there. They make these people more violent. They lock them up as animals. They treat them as animals. It's horrible. Now, not that maybe some of these people don't deserve that, but that's not what a society should be doing. A society should be really looking to see how they can kind of bring this person back into society 5 years from now. And break that chain of violence that they allow to continue in the jails. I mean, they allow the gangs and all this stuff. All that stuff could be stopped if it's done appropriately and right. It's common sense. And I think if we the people within our own county sit and think about it and try to figure these things out, I think we can come up with a lot better ideas than what we're doing. You know, again, it's up to the people. It's self-rule. That's what common law is. It's self-rule. We get to decide, not them. They're hired help. They do what we tell them to do. So when it comes to the decision-making of anyone's innocence or guilt, that's up to the people. And when it comes to the point when people are in office and are breaking the law by doing unconstitutional things or going to Washington and taking some of that funny money that they say is legal to take, well, in New York, it's not legal. To us, it's a bribe, and that's what the people should be realizing. So when they come back from Washington, we'll put some chains on them and put them into prison because they're selling out the people. They're violating the Holy of Holies because, look, this is our government. This is our life. They're destroying us. So anyway, we the people need to take charge of ourselves And you see, by monitoring what the government is doing and listening to what the people are saying when they're complaining about the government and going and doing investigations, because that's what the four people do, the four administrators are the investigative body for the grand jury. And so they go into a government office where there is a problem, and they question people, they look at the books, they look at things, and when they see that there's some problems there, they write a prescription and say, look, this is what you got to do to fix this. We give you 24 hours to fix it, or 72 hours, whatever you think is appropriate. Four people will figure that out. You fix this. And then you monitor them, and you find out they don't fix it. Well, then you take it to the grand jury. You say, hey, look, this is what they're doing over here. You know, we bring the case to them. And we say, we get 25 people, and we say, this is what they're doing over here. We told them to do this. They refused to do it. We really think you should indict them. And so the grand jury will ask questions. We put all the evidence before them. They'll question people, and then they'll make a decision. And if majority says, yeah, we think they're guilty, they send them into the courts. Now, of course, they have the opportunity to do a second arbitration with them. And if they agree, that would be final. And if they broke that, they're going to jail. So, you know, opportunity to fix your wrong should always be given. And again, violent crimes is a whole different thing. People will figure that out too. After all, God said he wrote his law into our hearts. We know right from wrong. And if we as a people sit down and listen to the people that are coming in here as witnesses to a case, and we just listen closely, we'll see the contradictions. We'll know what's really going on, and we know what to do with that person more than any judge or any written law. We know whether there should be mercy applied or not. Law can't figure any of that stuff out. Law is black and white. Everybody goes in for this period of time, and that's it. No, everything, there's extenuating circumstances. There might be a case where the jury might say, hey, you know, if I was in that person's position, I would have done the same thing. And they might be totally mercy and just totally let them go. That's the business of the people. It has nothing to do with the government, and they've taken control over that, and therefore they've taken control of your future, of your decision-making, of you being a free person. They've taken all that away by taking control of that process. So,
John,
we have to save America.
You are really, this is a good show today.
Appreciate that, yeah.
It's a real good show.
Well, you know, it's the message we have. It's so powerful, you know. It's a powerful message. Yeah,
it is. I mean, I like the idea about the court and stuff. You know, I mean, but how you really
you bring justice to the courts. You bring justice to all of America. All of America. The political process. Look at, you know, that they're all crooks. I mean, look, just go to the meetings and watch what they do and see, hear what they say. These people are horrible people. I don't know why they are. They get lost in power and money. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. All this we can stop. Because all it takes is for the report of some committee or some group in the town doing this or that that has control of the political process. Well, we get a complaint. Well, okay, we'll send someone down to sit in. And we'll sit in and listen, and we'll see what's going on. And we'll call them out on the carpet right there and let them know that this is what they need to do. You know, they may treat the people with disrespect, but they're certainly not going to treat the administrators for the common law grand jury with disrespect. And when they realize that there is such a organization, when they realize that the people have become active to take over these positions and that they're going to be reported by the people who are now there without the administrators being there, they're going to start to get on better behavior, aren't they? Because they know we're going to come and we're going to do something about it. And we'll prove that right off the bat by putting a lot of people in jail that belong there. I think jails were created for two kinds of people, in my opinion, violent people and judges. That's my opinion. Because any judge who violates the law and puts people into prison unrighteously deserves to be put in prison themselves. You know, there's a judge we heard about recently. Gerard was telling me about him. He had read about him, and he was boasting. He was getting ready for retirement, and he was boasting how he had given, during his career, over 1 million years in sentencing. I mean, what kind of a person makes that kind of a statement that's supposed to be a judge? Who is that? I think this guy needs to go to jail for 1 million years. Unfortunately, he doesn't have 1 million years, but we'll give him 20.
Wow, you know? A lot of years.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's just, look, listen, you know, A prosecutor makes the statement. We've all heard this. I can prosecute a ham sandwich. I can indict a ham sandwich. Well, first of all, the prosecutor doesn't get to indict anyone. They do control the juries right now, so it's a puppet jury. So he does do the indictment. But in a real sense, when we bring the common law back, no, he doesn't get the chance. He tells the story, and we'll decide. And you know what? If they're bringing us a crime, what they call a crime, and there's no injured party, then there's nothing to hear. There's nothing to talk about. You know, he can take his ham sandwich and go home. So.
Wow, the ham sandwich. That's a good one. Wow. So look here. So you're going to be on next week too?
Oh, absolutely. If I'm not, Gerard will be here. He also is one of the co-founders, and he's a speaker also. And so, yeah, we got quite a few people who can come on. But I'll usually try to be here most of the time.
Yeah, because a lot of people listen to y'all. You know, they're trying to figure it out. You know, you're going to have people going to the courtroom and say, well, I ain't got to do that. So they're going to they're gonna have to get that phone number from you again. So once you get the number and all
Well, yeah,
stuff.
come to nationallibertyalliance.org. That's what you really have to remember is nationallibertyalliance.org. And up on the weekly call, we have all the phone numbers. If you go to the contacts, you'll highlight the contacts. You've got contact information to get a hold of the national coordinator. You've got contact information to get a hold of your state coordinator. And you have contact information to get a hold of people in your county or your county's next door. So we have all that information up there. And of course, you can talk with me every Monday for 3 hours. And I often give my number out over our program. And people often call me from time to time and I'm on the phone a lot with a lot of the leaders, but just anybody can call me. I take calls. There are times when I don't answer my phone because I'm just too busy, but I try to make it, certain evenings and certain times during the day where I'm available to answer calls.
Wow, this has been a very interesting show. So now we have another minute to go. So anything you'd like to say, like the phone number, one more thing, everything again, one more time.
Well, yeah, the website is nationallibertyalliance.org. And again, read our front page, understand who we are, what we're doing, join us, click on that join button, and there's more information for those who join. There are a few tabs and things that you can't see unless you join. But join us and join the course, take the course totally free. I mean, hey, take as long as you want to do it or do it quickly. Looking for a job and you want to do something that is rewarding, click on the administrator side and do it. I'd like to end it with a quote or two of Jefferson. Jefferson said, educate and inform the whole mass of people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. And he's absolutely on point, and that is the purpose behind National Liberty Alliance. We are to facilitate the people, to teach them how to self-govern themselves. And it all starts off with principles, working out you got to go to your prayer closet and work it out with your maker, because that's the first part of this thing, and that's your business between you and him. And but then we'll teach you the principles, which is God's principles, not ours. And all of the information you need to understand how this whole system works. We should know how our court systems works. And we have to go back and recapture the educational system of America, too. And we have a plan for that right after we get into power.
You should be giving seminars because you're a very good speaker. I mean, people really know how you're very good at this. And well, thank you for today. And we will check you out next Friday from 11 to 12. This was a great show, and the name of your show one more time.
All right, nationallibertyalliance.org is the website. That's our show, and God bless everyone. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Friday. Maybe we'll see you next Monday or tomorrow for our Bible studies.
All right, thank you so much.
Go to the website. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.